Ich heiße Dan. Willkommen nach Audioface.
Ja, willkommen nach Audioface. Wir haben ein
Podcast
große...
auf der Syndicate 23 Network.
Wir haben eine große Show für euch. Und ja, das ist...
Ja, so...
Das ist total Wahnsinn hier mit...
Hello humans, welcome to Audio Face
hey.
From the Syndicate 23 Network. I am Dan from the internet.
I am Sean from Sean.
The bike.
Sean from the bike, I like
Sean,
that.
Sean from the block.
We have many news this week, so unlike last week where we were in a car.
Unlike last week where we were trying to kill time for an hour to talk about music, but we actually, that was a pretty good episode.
We bullshitted for an hour and it was good. It worked.
Yeah. This week, we have several news. I always like to start off, this is a big news week, so I always like to start off with some light news, some just a little something to just like get your feet wet. Nothing too heavy, but apparently there was a Saudi singer that was arrested for dabbing.
What the hell?
At a concert. Because...
I just popped up the picture.
Yeah.
And the picture is amazing.
So
what the hell? It's...
So Saudi Arabia, among other things they do with their government, is they have this move to try to...
Do they have an anti-dabbing poster?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, my God. They have a poster.
They have
right.
a poster straight up anti-dabbing, like an X through it.
What? I'm going to put this poster in the rundown, like, for people to,
Please.
Like, actually see, because it is worth it. But basically, the idea is that the Saudi government, among other things, to kind of just, like, keep a control over culture... and make sure that anything quote-unquote bad or, like, not following their idea of law kind of, like, gets through, they're banning anything that happens to do with... But anything that pertains to drug usage or...
Well, naturally.
Those influences. And I guess dabbing somehow apparently has to do with drug usage. It's just, like, it's just something stupid nerdy white kids do, from all I know.
You pretty much. It's, like, overweight nerdy white kids dab now.
I saw a video of, like, kids at a spelling bee, like,
do
dabbing
really
after
dab?
All their letters, and they're, like, 9 years old.
Did they really do that?
Yeah. I swear to you.
You need to go home and rethink your life.
2017.
This is a bad year. I don't like this year anymore.
Can
we just quit this year?
Yeah, I know. We love how we started this show on the premise that, like, music is fantastic this year, so that's why we're doing Audio Face. Music is the only thing good this year.
Right.
But yeah, that person, I guess, is facing jail time.
Wait, really?
For dabbing, yeah. Because, I mean, them's the breaks.
Well, remember how Bam said on the We Made a Podcast, saying that you have a freedom of speech in countries, and some countries you can't do anything. Some countries you can't even dab in, yo. You get arrested for dabbing.
Yeah, checkmate liberals.
Checkmate liberals, yep.
But there yeah, I'll include a picture of that kind of, like, notice... about, like, the anti-dabbing notice that's in Arabic, that's pretty phenomenal. At least I want to say that's Arabic. I hope I got that right.
I'm not going to say that.
Talking Monster. We wanted to talk about this a little bit last week, but I think it's worth bringing up this week, too,
yeah.
A proper episode. That Talking Monster is coming out with a new album called, I think, Luna Rogue, or Rouge. Yeah, that's... Can you tell me if I have this right? Because I'm really blanking out. But she released a new single to go along with it. I heard it, and it was, like, actually really nice. I mean, I don't know if it's actually. I've never really gotten into Talking Monster too heavy.
It's all right.
Before, but no, I really like it. And she's doing a tour as well. So, I don't know. That sounds exciting. I can't wait to hear what that album, like, the fruits of that album comes from. Like, what comes out. I can sew words.
Okay. How do words good people speak?
I can't wait to see the fruit...
Of
the labor that album will feature from Talking Monster. I'm going to stop using words nicely.
Just forget how to words good.
Next on the rundown, pigs are flying.
Pigs are flying. Yeah.
Dogs and cats are living together.
Dogs and cats living together. Mochi and Luna are getting along. And
Sean's cats.
My cats.
Who, maybe if you can't figure out by this whole joke, in fact, do not get along.
And
lastly but not least, another part of the world that just makes absolutely no sense, Doom is back.
A one Doom all capitals
metal face,
spell the man name.
The supervillain.
The supervillain.
But yeah, he's doing
The villain had many forms.
So MF Doom, used to be one of my favorite rappers, and still like one of my favorite rappers of all time.
He's still my favorite rapper.
Very one talented, but doesn't do shit.
No, he's like took the most stuff route where he's like, eh.
He had like a really fire like run from about 2002 to 2006 with his production being on like absolutely acclaimed albums like Mad Villainy with Madlib, Food from MF Doom, produced an album with Danger Mouse. But yeah, he's done a couple of things with Adult Swim especially.
It's been things that have been coming out the past couple of years, but...
Yeah, there have been leaks here and there. He's supposed to be doing something with Jay Electronica. He's supposed to be doing something with Ghostface. He's supposed to be doing a lot of things, but either way, he's doing... Doom is going to be releasing a new single every single week for the next 15 weeks. Apparently, this is in partnership with Adult Swim, and it's called The Missing Notebook Rhymes. So I guess this whole idea of, hey, there's like this... a bunch of lost songs that MF Doom was like half finished with or basically finished with. And one does actually feature Jay Electronica. And I don't know how I feel about this. I guess I'm happy that Doom is producing new music, but with this also comes a plethora of like promises that I don't think are gonna be fulfilled.
Yeah. No.
Like the idea that he's going to be producing more artists. I mean, he's gonna be producing more albums anytime soon. I would love to think that, but at the same time...
I highly doubt it at this point.
Yeah, because like, when was the last time he... When was the last MF Doom album, per se? I think it might have been... 2007 or 9, because everything has been collaborations. I think the last big Doom outfit, I would say, was Key to the Cuffs.
Yeah.
Because that was a collaboration with Nairo Janelle, or Nairo Janelle, I don't know, Jarrell, I don't
Nairo.
Know. Whatever, I can't pronounce things, but he did that collaboration in 2012. And that was like, someone else produces it, but Doom mostly raps on an album.
Right.
So I'll call that
it's
a good album.
I like
it. It was a great album, yeah.
But he hasn't done shit because he was denied entry in the US, what, 8 years ago, seven
years
ago?
Oh yeah, by the way, he's not allowed in the United States.
Yeah, that was why he's like, he basically did the most stuff of, I'm not allowed in half the countries I want to go in now, apparently, so I'm just going to retire.
In fact, one of the lyrics on Banished, a song from Keys to the Cuffs, it opens with, the villain got banished, refused out the U.S., and he ain't even Spanish.
that's bars.
I miss that guy. But yeah, right? I'm happy to see that he's going to be producing hashtag content, but like, it's...
It's going to be good.
And the first song that came out, Negus, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, kind of slow, kind of eerie, very Doom vibe song, but, I just don't trust it. It's actually going to be an album. It says he's got an album called Imperious Rex coming out soon, too. I just don't believe it.
Yeah, it's Where's been the Ghostface so long,
album?
Right?
Where's the Jay Electronica album?
Where's Half-Life 3?
Sean, which is coming first, the next Doom album or Half-Life 3?
Half-Life 3 confirmed. If Doom comes out with an album, Half-Life 3 is coming confirmed. Out like 3 months later. And then the world's ending.
Valve was like, hey, we finally decided to, since the nukes are going to drop at any moment, let's just pump out this Half-Life 3. And
then you get a Team Fortress 3, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be a day.
Next up, this is a little, I guess it's like a Californian story, if there ever was one. But Amoeba is a very like famous record store that has, three stores, of which we've been to all three, just because we're both located by all three. There's the famous one in Hollywood on Sunset. Mm-hmm. There's the famous one in San Francisco, right on in the Haight-Ashbury. And of course, there's one in Berkeley in the Telegraph area, in the Telegraph District, basically. And the one in LA, which I think is the biggest one.
By far the biggest
one. Yeah, definitely the biggest one. I like the one in San Francisco just because you can also get a medical marijuana card in the building.
Naturally, because. You gotta get high and listen to music.
I mean, it's a record.
It's San Francisco, you know? That's the only
thing
you
need. It's Haight-Ashbury, no less. Right by the park, too. Everything you need there.
Last year, Dan's like, we're going to Haight-Ashbury. I go, oh, man. All right.
Coming in hot. No, but Amoeba in Hollywood is closing due to development.
Man.
Shout out to Steve Ballmer. How about them Clippers? Don't remind me.
Ouch.
Nice jerseys.
Good jerseys, but you're gonna win shit.
Got that nice swoosh on
Freaking
them now.
Freiburg's gonna win the Bundesliga before Clippers are good again, you know?
Oop, you said Bundesliga, which means we're talking about soccer, which means it's time to plug the We Made It podcast on the Syndicate 23 Network, where you can listen to Bam and Caesar, our cohorts in camaraderie and audio talk about
podcastery.
We're done.
Listen to their shit. They're good. Bye.
Anyways, so Amoeba, the record store, is closing down to be made into this big multi-level complex full of luxury apartments that only foreign investors
only
can
neoliberal
afford.
Foreign investors from China can go
and
afford.
Then downstairs there'll be shopping for people who like acai bowls and salads for $18 and other things that Los Angeles likes to pride himself, but apparently there's a pool
and
there.
Like some goose egg toast or some shit,
avocado toast.
And that's too basic now. You can't even say avocado toast.
Yeah, I don't think avocado toast is going to be there. But anyways, it's
salsa,
a really...
It's a new thing. It's going to be like salsa toast.
It's a really, like,
it's
major...
It's a cool store. I like the store. It's really a cool place to go and get music from. You know,
it's a great venue. Like, so many artists have gone down
so
there
so many people
perform.
Go to
There's
it.
Just
it's
so
always
much
a
history
line.
In this, like, yeah. record store. I think, like, one reason I love it is the first time... Right after I got my license... The first, like, major, more than a commute drive I took was when both of us went to Amoeba Records and we just started, like, buying records there. We got Hail the Thief right there. I have a picture of you that I think I'm going to include in the rundown.
Yeah.
Because I hate you.
And a very happy, elated Sean getting my favorite album ever, Hail to the Thief.
Yeah.
And we also, I think I also got OK Computer from my dad. And then those are the two. And then I got, like, a Siguro CD and a couple other stuff. But it's, like...
While many other record stores have died in the 21st century, like Amoeba, because of its history,
it's
because
just huge.
Of,
it's always a line there. It's always human in it, even in the middle of a day. When we
yeah,
went like on
it's
a
never,
Wednesday,
it's not like an empty record store. Like, and that's such a vast collection, and so it's really interesting to see that like this building might not exist anymore, which is kind of just scary to me. I guess is. It's one of the last surviving vestiges of the physical music era.
Yeah, and it's...
Other than that, people are going to be buying physical music in Target.
That's rough.
Walmart.
Oh, don't shop at Walmart. You're going to kill yourself if you
watch... Yeah, because there's something just, like, unbeatable to just, like, the feeling of going through those rows and, like, trying to find art. Like, you can really do music discovery there.
Yeah, you can because you go to the sections of where you have your staples, you know, what you genuinely like. And then you go and you see different artists there. And you go, okay. And then you listen to them, you found out they have a different sound. Then you go back and then you try to go to a different section, pick stuff out. That's what I did when I was young.
Not to mention their phenomenal movie collection as well.
Yes.
Like they have a great film selection upstairs in the LA one. But basically, Amoeba's trying to fight it. They've been offered different places to move as well. But I mean, for those who don't live in LA or any other like major city, like this is just kind of what's happening everywhere. These big like land developers are coming in to produce these like condos with like nice geometric
Nobody
patterns.
Nobody can freaking afford.
With like that are each like $4,000 a month for a studio apartment with no utilities.
Right.
And it's kind of a sad that out with the old and with the new kind of looks like this. But I did want to point out this Amoeba story because I want to follow it closely. But yeah. And it's interesting. Apparently, the Amoeba Hollywood only opened in 2001. So it's not like even the... It's definitely the newest one, but it's still iconic
It's
place.
Still pretty iconic. It's, what was the first one then?
San Francisco, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, when did that pop up? A while ago?
Probably during the Haight-Ashbury days.
That's rough.
Anyways, I'll keep research... Or you keep researching that to figure out where that happened. But anyways, I'll move on to the next story with SoundCloud. So we've been talking about SoundCloud's issues lately about how... Oh, they're running out of money. Oh, no, they're not running out of money.
Right.
But they just got their phone-a-friend. They use their phone-a-friend, and they just got a $170 million investment to kind of keep them afloat for a couple more, I mean, I don't know, their books, maybe months, maybe another year. It gives them a little bit more runway to kind of figure themselves out. But as part of this agreement, some Vimeo executives, former Vimeo executives, will now be taking over. And there's going to be, like, a whole executive shuffle happening. And I don't know if this will truly be enough to turn SoundCloud around. I mean, Vimeo is... I think Vimeo is a good analogy for SoundCloud. Because Vimeo is still not the preferred video platform,
no,
right?
God, no. I mean, there will still be things on there. Basically, the stuff that will get taken down on YouTube, you go and you upload on Vimeo. By the way, Amoeba opened in 1990 in Berkeley.
Okay. What about San Francisco?
Like a couple years after that.
Oh, so the first one was in Berkeley.
Yeah, according to Wikipedia, so...
Oh, well, so, A, Wikipedia's always right, so you can't deny that.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't edit it, so it's always perfect. You know. And then secondly, wow, we are young as fuck. Because we think, oh, this is ages old, it's been around forever. Nope, just...
Well, no, because it's an independent music store, so that's...
It was an independent music store before that?
No, it is an independent.
Oh, yeah, that's also true. Because a lot of these are, like, bigger conglomerates.
Yeah, that are owned... I was about to go on a corporate...
Yeah, but like...
Tangent, but we're going to hold it back.
I mean, you got to talk about communism at some point during the episode, but right. We'll save that for
later. Seize the means of music production.
Which reminds me of SoundCloud.
Yeah, it's rough.
So I think Vimeo...
I like it and don't like it at the same time.
Because Vimeo is a platform where... Like, Vimeo's obviously not YouTube. It's not going to be, like, first God, place people go for video. YouTube. But film directors and, like... Different producers of all kinds that go to Vimeo first because of the quality. It's just like the gold standard for the people who are really in video production.
Yes.
Especially when they're showing off short films or works. I think just because of like how the compression works there.
I've never uploaded.
Oh, I believe it's a lot less compressed than what YouTube does on their end. So you get like a better picture. And they have a lot of different features to cater to their... very like indie audience,
and they don't outlaw certain music, so you can add music to a lot of videos or other things that you want to put up too. Because I remember I had to do that for a project, remember 5 years ago or something. Yeah.
I think we did do that
for
allegedly.
In high school, allegedly, supposedly, maybe.
Yeah, but no, Vimeo. The reason why it's a good analogy is because Vimeo exists. Not to compete against YouTube anymore, because they're going to fail, but they exist to offer the best they can to the artists that will support that platform, and in the hopes of doing that, like
it'll stay around.
Yeah, stay around hoping to pay the bills that way. And so if the Vimeo, the former Vimeo execs can go to SoundCloud and take what SoundCloud already has, which is a very vibrant, very, strong community... and continue to cultivate that and keep giving them what they want while also figuring out a way to keep the bills going, then I think that'll be good. Oh, no, I fucked up. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God. This is not me for once. Yeah. I don't know if I picked it up, but hey, your phone went off.
It definitely went off. I was the one with the volume problems.
Hey, sad. I was even using Snapchat, and I didn't fuck up this time.
Yeah, I literally have a snap from you on my phone right now from 12 minutes ago, and we've been recording for 19 minutes, so 20 minutes now, so suck it. Sean's just looking at me so smugly. All right, you got me. Nice job. Okay. Next is pretty much the only full album we've got to talk about this week because,
Yeah, everything Kesha, else is just like.
Yeah.
Random shit.
So Kesha's.
Keisha.
She's white. It's Kesha.
That's rough. Ooh,
so
man.
Kesha's. It's a little edgy today on Audio Face.
Yeah, we're getting in there. Good little pokes in the audio face today.
But yeah, Kesha's album Rainbow came out. And I think there's a lot...
Not in rainbows, just rainbow.
There's a lot to unpack from this. So let's keep in mind, let's do a little refresh of Kesha. Kesha, who I remember as $ha. of TikTok fame.
Yeah.
No, but I remember Kesha in middle school, right? Like the annoying TikTok song that was like...
I hate that song so much. Holy shit. That song was rough.
Yeah. The peak of horrendous pop that led to kind of the lull that we had for the past couple of years that we're recently kind of getting out of in the music industry.
Yeah, which I've been yelling at for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's been a fun summer, Sean, yelling at you in person every weekend about... Many weekends about music sucking. Yep. Or not sucking or actually being kind of great. Anyway, right. So... Kesha releases that album. She's kind of on a high stride, but then she has these legal troubles with a producer named Dr. Luke, who was assigned to was agreed to by Sony, I believe, to work with Kesha. He's a well-known producer.
The producers.
Yeah. Kesha was claiming sexual assault and battery, sexual harassment from Dr. Luke. And these charters went to court, and it was a really
big thing.
Yeah, rough legal battle. And really, Kesha, what she wanted most of all was to be let out of her contract so that she wouldn't
be one of the free folk.
Yeah, on that Game of Thrones hard. Yep. But just to be able to have not only just that creative freedom, but to legitimately get away from this, like, very hostile person.
Who apparently was...
Yeah.
Yeah. Who, allegedly.
Yes, allegedly for all intents and purposes, but...
Anyways, let's go on to the album itself. It's good. But amidst of all of her crazy shit, you know, she's gone through a lot. As we talked about this before, earlier today, where it's her...
It's the album after the fallout. It's been 4 years.
4 years. Okay.
Yeah, so basically, the end of that legal quabble is that, like, Kesha wanted to be, like, kind of free from Dr. Luke and, like, their contract. Kesha was ruled that she couldn't be. But, yeah, the claims were dismissed.
Right.
You can go into the court case. It's kind of, like, interesting, kind of ugly. But long story short, Dr. Luke doesn't have to... I don't think he was a part of the production process of this. But he's still, like, being paid by Sony. And so he's still making money off of Kesha's dime. At least that's how I kind of understand it. And that's kind of the context. Because through this, Kesha also went... She was going through, like, a lot of, like, mental health issues. And she went to a rehab center for an eating disorder issues. And... Mm-hmm. This is kind of her album coming out as a result of all of that.
It's like, hey, and, look, I survived my stupid shit, basically. Yeah.
And if we can just get outside of the inside baseball about that and go strictly to the music, this album...
It's pretty good.
It's very good. And what I wanted to draw the parallel to is that it is a showing that Kesha has matured from not only just the situation, but from also as a musician.
From being Ked dollar sign her to being actual Kesha.
Yeah. But, like, she's matured as a person. She's matured through the, like, difficult situations she's been in, the very public difficult situations she's been in, the very private difficult situations, and also through all of that, her music. So all of this album as a whole, I think, is very...
It's good. Mature, yeah, it's
I
different.
Guess. Mature is the best way I would describe it.
Yeah, that's the best way you could describe it. Might be eclectic in the album because it kind of goes a little all over the place, but she was trying a bunch of different themes in it. There's a couple songs that are very acoustic and light and easy. There are songs that are not really electronic but more alternative. There's poppy songs. There's two country songs. So it's a good overall album. I liked it. So it's good for her to come back and produce something pretty strong with it. So
yeah.
You okay over there? You dead?
No, we're good. I was reading some very alarming breaking news going on, but we're just not even gonna bring into
this
that.
This isn't politics.
Yeah. But what I really like about Kesha's album is that A, it just sounds very different than a lot of music out there. Like, we've made a lot of comments on this podcast itself about music sounding samey and not having a lot of, like, difference within it, right? But this album actually got... this album just has so much range and so much variation. There's some country tracks on here. There's some alternative tracks on here. And so I really think the whole, like, electronic, trappy sort of way the industry is going is not... that reflected in this album. And I don't know, that's really like, it's a really like brush of fresh air. And that's something I wouldn't expect from a pop artist like Kesha.
No.
I would expect Kesha to be like...
Still going, poppy.
Like, not even Kesha. It's like any pop artist to be very conservative, going, okay, almost data-driven music in the sense that these are the trends, this is what people want to buy, let's make an album that doesn't like...
Crowd pleasers and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but...
And she didn't, which is cool.
Yeah, she did what I think... We want artists to do more.
Which is expand, ad nauseum, try different shit.
Try different things and land on your feet.
Yeah.
And I think she did that, like, amazingly. Like,
as I said earlier, it's eclectic album, almost, to where there's so many different sounds that she's trying with, and they're all pretty good. Like, I'm surprised. Even the country, we don't really like country much. Like, it's very, very rare, but it's good.
Yeah, and I also have to talk about the lyrics for a moment, because, like, this is, like... A lot of this, it's almost following that, like, Lana, well, I'm not going to insult it by saying, like, Lana Del Rey's kind of, like, feminist, like, proclamations from her album.
Right.
Because, especially within the context of Lana Del Rey, which is something we talked about a couple episodes ago, it feels a little more forced or it feels a little more faked, or if I'm giving Lana Del Rey the benefit of the doubt, it's like, oh, so you've finally woken up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so you're finally with us.
Finally woke.
But, like, with Kesha, like, she's been through this, like, horrifying situation. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Having, without getting too heavy in any of this, but, like, having a public trial where sexual assault is the topic.
It's bad.
Where it's like, a woman against a very well-connected, powerful man. That's going to get rough on both sides. People are going to be, like, and that's, whatever the outcome was, it's going to be a difficult experience to be a part of and have to, like, relive those experiences that mm-hmm. Kesha allegedly had.
Having to explain it all and everything again over and over again.
It's public just, scrutiny it's, of all of that as well.
Yeah, it's just bad.
And so back to the album with these songs like Woman and Let Him Talk and Learn to Let Go, like, it's... I think even Rainbow, I was reading an article where Rainbow was written while she was in hospital for her treatment for her eating disorder.
Mm.
And she was only allowed to use the piano about an hour a day while she was writing the song.
Wow.
And
that
so,
makes
like,
sense because it's an acoustic song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into this album, and what comes out of it is empowerment. Empowerment for Kesha, and I think empowerment for a lot of Kesha's listeners, and people who have been through similar situations as well. So, like...
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
All in all, like, I think Kesha knocked it out of the park. I came in with a fairly open mind, not liking Kesha too much in the past musically, but
right.
going like, hey.
Well, I mean, also, it's been so long since she's made music, you kind of forgot about it in a way.
Which kind of goes back to your operating thesis, Sean, that if you take a little break to make music, you'll probably make better music.
Yep. I really think it's a thing. Because if you keep putting out too much content, it all blurs into one. Jigsaw falling into place. Anyways, our favorite Scientologist, Beck.
Yeah. Beck is back.
Beck has been, he's been doing a lot of content lately, you know?
Yeah.
He released a couple albums and some crazy weird stuff, but it's Beck.
Well, like, Beck... Beck.
We love Beck.
So I
And Beck is wild sometimes.
Beck has been a staple in our lives for a very long time. Because
Since
when we were... Because
cell phone's dead, yo.
No, not even that. But, like, think Loser. Like,
we knew
Beck when he was, like, 90s grunge trash. And we knew Beck
really
when
was.
He was, like,
he was
early
bad,
2000s alternative weirdo.
Yep.
And then we knew Beck when he was, like, chill Scientologist who accidentally won a Grammy.
Right? That was hilarious. And then Maureen, yeah.
A well-earned Grammy, but, like, it's a Grammy for Beck? And that year as well, I forget everyone else, like, that album was going against, but... Morning Faves was definitely a dark horse for the Grammys that year.
It was a good album.
Great album,
really,
but like...
liked it. It was just, yeah, like, Morning Faves?
It wasn't a... Like, in 2015, Beck wasn't that, like, culturally relevant, unfortunately. Like, everyone who followed Beck in alternative music knew that Morning Faves was an album that had come out. I think even Starbucks was selling it a lot. Which... I've got takes about that a little bit later. But, oh yeah, boy do I have takes about that later. But there are other albums out there that were way more like in the middle of the zeitgeist that I'm blanking
better.
On right now. But I'll look that up a little bit. But I knew there were other nominations as well that were, I thought were going to win just because they were more popular that year. But nevertheless...
Morning Faze was in 2015?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I thought it came out in 2014.
Yeah.
Oh no, like one of his singles came out in 2014. It was like Blue Moon or something like that.
Yeah. Oh no, so Beyonce had an album. Ed Sheeran's album X was there. And Pharrell Williams' Girl was Album of the Year nominated. And Sam Smith. So Beyonce, Ed Sheeran even kind of, Sam Smith, Pharrell Williams, they were very 2015. Like that,
Sam Smith, for sure.
Yeah.
And Sam Smith's album was pretty good.
And then, like, Beck? but, yeah, that was just an interesting year. But anyways, some of the new singles that are a little random, some of them I've loved, some of them I've been, like, okay about.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to be featured on this new album. So Wow has come out, Dreams, which is my favorite, Up All Night.
Up All Night's
that's going to be all part of the album, which actually... makes me very happy.
I like Wow. It's just so weird.
I like Wow and I love Dreams. I love Dreams so much.
I'm trying to remember what the hell Dreams sounds like.
Dreams, da-na-na, dream.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like that was on video game somewhere too.
Oh yeah, it's definitely been in. I'm sure it's been in FIFA by now.
It's probably in FIFA. Fucking FIFA song.
Like, the interesting thing that Beck said about this album is that he said something about, like, oh yeah, I suppose the record could have come out a year or two ago, but these are complex songs all trying to do two or more things at once. It's not retro and it's not modern. To get everything to sit together so it doesn't sound like a huge mess was quite an undertaking.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm good. I'm glad that he's taking your time to, you know, polish it up and make it sound really cohesive and not too all over the place. You don't want it to be, you know, so eclectic that you don't know what the hell the theme is or at all, you know? It's just like, whoa, you're kind of wild. I mean, yeah. Wow was already that song in a way. I really like Wow, though. I like that song makes me laugh. But,
I just love Dreams.
Interesting. When's this supposed to come out? Like October?
Yeah, October. This, you know, I mean, it's interesting because both our podcast and We Made It on the Syndicate 23 Network, we kind of started in a lull period of music because the summer is when, like, you let the summer hits play out. Just like on, like, We Made It. Summer's like when most of the soccer is pretty much done for the year. And then when we get in the fall, we're like off to the races on both ends. So we're going to have like a lot of awesome releases in the fall that you'll definitely want to make sure you're listening to Audio Face every week for all of our takes on that and tell your friends. Because it's going to be an awesome like end of the year. We're going to do an award show.
We are hella doing an award show.
We should do that show in person. So the rest of the episodes are going to be, I'll explain that near the end. I'll go near the end.
You go near the end?
Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, look out for Beck. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. Just last thing. Like, for me personally, I thought peak Beck was around The Information.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where, like, 2002 to 2006, seven, right?
Seven was
that
like,
was peak Beck.
Cell phone's dead. Yeah. He did it from the basement and had some dude look like he was wearing a Civil War Union jacket playing with him on... I don't remember what the hell he was playing. Like flute or some random shit. But yeah, that was like 07 Beck.
Yeah.
He had long hair and done up vest, whatever. Yeah, that was good. Cell phone's dead.
Lost in the desert.
Right. That's a good song. That was
a good year.
That was a really good year of music. 2007,
right.
Yo.
It's
funny how that happens. There's periodic times.
Yeah.
Where it's just like there's off years and there's really good years.
I don't know how to segue to this, so I'm just going to go right in. Live Nation is being sued over a drug overdose death at Hardfest that occurred last year.
Hardfest, not Hard Summer?
Correct.
What's Hardfest?
No, sorry. This was at Hard Summer in Fontana last year. So someone... Well,
Hard Summer was out in Fontana? That's fucking rough. That is... Oh,
well,
God, that is rough.
Yeah, no.
Oof, man. Out in the cocaine fields, man. Whoa, allegedly. Whoa.
So, I hate to bring up this argument again, but like, no, I do, because I really want to talk
about it. No, let's do it.
To what extent is the promoter responsible for someone going to their concert and doing drugs at their concert and dying? Because if I want to take my small government, fiscally conservative, libertarian principles to this story, as I do with
libertarian
most aspects of my life.
Pay your taxes.
Never pay your taxes.
Never pay your taxes.
It's theft.
Taxes are theft. Taxes are stealing from the general public.
I believe in individual liberty and responsibility and responsibility for your actions. And by using a potentially deadly drug like MDMA, you are taking...
Did you really use MDMA? Oh.
Yeah. Molly, E, like some variant, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is, like, it's not surprising. It's a music festival, especially like an electronic heavy music festival. So like, of course, right?
Yeah.
But
of course.
I don't think, I strongly disagree with the idea that promoters should be held accountable for these conditions because
it's too hard. I don't know how they should be responsible.
Alive yourself. But, really pull the brakes on that one. But, okay, so I think promoters have a responsibility, like, hey, make sure you have security to try to get rid of some of the more, like, egregious cases of drug use.
And get rid of the flags.
Make sure you...
No flags at the festival.
All right, here's Sean and his, like, war path against fun. But in all seriousness, I think promoters should also make sure that they have enough water at these events, because even if it's
That's
not...
That's big.
Even if it's... not like death from a drug overdose, a lot of these festivals happen in very contained spaces that are indoors or outdoors. If it's outdoors, oftentimes in the summer, and like,
it's just we went in 2014, and I remember that. Where the fuck is the water?
Hella hot, right? Yeah,
that was really hot.
And again, like I said, like EDC, they have the water situation down pretty well, like as best as they could, having several hundred, like thousand people in that one area for 3 days. They handled the water situation like pretty much on lock. That was good. But I think beyond that, you can't hold a promoter responsible for someone else's decision to take drugs. Of course, I feel bad for the person who like overdosed and died, but like that, there's a little bit of responsibility there. If you like go on an alcohol binge and you die, like, do you blame the alcohol company? I mean, you could have a long time ago, but now we all know there's public health campaigns and like alcohol is going to kill you if you overdo it. Alcohol poisoning is a thing. Impaired driving is a thing.
Yep.
Like,
I just don't do it. No, don't do it. Please don't do it.
Oh no, you didn't. But yeah, I that's my rant. Do you have any other points to add?
Humans are too stupid, so I don't know if the venue should... It's a thing where it should be responsible for some things, but this, like, it's one incident, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard because you can't take away everything from everybody. It's just, it's too hard to screen, you know?
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to catch everybody with all the fun popping pills. And Dan just made a really funny face right now.
Oh, no. I was reading my AP news oddities.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Someone got arrested for dancing on stage during a Britney Spears concert.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Twitter the other day. Shit, that's hilarious. We talked about that.
Hey, guess what? I may have interrupted you, but that's music news.
It's music news. It is music news. Somebody fucking coming up to, right now. To Britney Spears, like, she was relevant in, like, 2001, but okay.
Whoa. Britney Spears relevant? When?
After she had her bald episode, which
hot take, which
I can relate to now, which is like fuck the world.
It seems like almost every white female pop artist has their bald phase,
right? When's Katy Perry turning bald?
Queens of the Stone Age is. So again, you know this rule we have on Audio Face. Yes, an artist can release like 10 singles, but if it's all for the run up to an album, we're going to give our final takes when the album comes out.
Correct.
So Queens of the Stone Age has released anywhere between 1 to 3 new singles since we first mentioned that like they announced their album and their tour and all that stuff. And we've heard them, but we will give our opinions on those when the album comes out in 2 weeks. Yes. So check out for the Audio Face that comes out 2 weeks.
Because we made that mistake with Phoenix, and we're not going to do that again. Where it's like single album.
Yeah, by that point, like you've heard a good bulk of the album, so like where's the point, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, there was one quote that I wanted to bring up
from
Queens of the Stone Age that's kind of interesting that relates to an ongoing Audio Face conversation about the idea that guitars are going extinct. The use of these instruments that used to be so central to music as a whole, it's just becoming an afterthought.
Yeah.
And of course, like, they... Drummer John Theodore said, I'll just bring up his quote. Quote, it's like guitars are going extinct in a lot of ways. Now it's punk to learn upright bass or classical guitar. It's in a new world right now, and sometimes I feel like a dinosaur, but most of the time I'm just grateful that we got started before the transition started. We're still firmly rooted in the world of guitar.
What does it mean it's punk to learn upright bass or classical guitar?
I think it's
guitar,
like edgy. But... like, it's not usual.
Like, some bougie ass hipster in Berkeley's like, I'm gonna learn classical guitar and be a Spanish performer. And
basically, like punk, not in the sense of like the genre, but more in the sense of, it's edgy, it's trendy, it's hipster. I think what he's saying, it's hipster.
So you need to, you know, do your thing.
You know,
You need to go home and rethink your life. That's going to be my new KYS.
Go home
and rethink your life.
Well, I'm slowly woking Sean.
Yep. Go home and rethink your life.
Just go home, sit down, and rethink your life. In a bathtub near a toaster.
Anyways.
As someone who has attempted suicide many times, I feel fine making that joke.
Right.
But anyways, Queens of the Stone Age. No, it's...
guitar, as I'm staring at two guitars right now.
Yeah. So guess what, Sean? Like, you're not alone. You also, like... and it's not like I disagreed with you, but people are very much noticing that traditional quote-unquote instruments, as in like anything
gone.
That isn't computer-based, is
slowly dying out. The one that really isn't dying out is piano. because it is the most universal instrument, because it just the way you're able to play it is a lot easier. Well, it's not really easy to play. As I play piano, it's a pain in the ass. It's a lot of fun, but for also, musicians, because for any type of genre, a piano can be used, because it can be used as you're writing the song, no matter what it is. It could be used to sample, because if you're in rap, some guys like to have the rap flute or rap piano.
Yeah.
If you're in country, you can have
like a keyboard backdrop.
I mean, it's just like ABBA would do that. Or you can have with jazz piano, obviously classical piano, where it started.
Church piano.
I mean, there's so many things. But guitars are very, very limited in what they can do with the sound.
Yeah.
Even with effects and whatnot, there's only so much that you can do. It depends on what, too, the genre you are, because certain genres are dying out. But the thing is, when I said, like, how some things start sound really samey, I mean, there was a time from, 2003 to 2008 or 2009 when you'd have your, you just go on K-Rock and all the songs would sound pretty damn similar. What was that? Oh, God, I can't think of the band name. Not 30 Seconds to Mars, but Three Doors Down. Three Doors Down all sounds the freaking same, even their new album, where I'm like, wow, they sound dated, you know? And I think that's what guitars are becoming, is becoming dated in a way, because there's not too much innovation with it. Not like computer-based programmers or whatnot that you can do and try to do different sounds, because guitars are very limited, unless you're highly skilled in electronics with a guitar.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying not to plug Radiohead as much as I can, but they're one of the best examples of it, where sometimes I go, that's a guitar? What? Because in, in Burn the Witch and Daydreaming, Ed O'Brien is using guitar effects and stuff, and it almost makes it sound like an Aude Martineau in a way. But then Johnny gets the Aude and you can hear it a bit different, but it's like, whoa, what the hell is he doing? And it's just guitar effects, you know? He's barely plucking a couple notes here or there, but he's using his feet and doing all these different sounds to make it sound completely different. But a lot of guitarists don't want to do that, or don't know how to. It's not easy at all. You have to have the time to literally tinker with the effects pedals and this or that. And you can't really do that unless you have the time and or the
talent.
The talent to really do that. And guitars are very, very hard to innovate with. Because, you know, guys have been shredding for years, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
guitar is something you have to take years to really, like, master. I remember, like, even, like, I don't know, insert bass players just failed guitarist joke here, right? But even, like, learning bass is not something you can do super quickly.
Mm-mm.
And it's not something you can master super quickly.
Mm-mm.
Because, like, okay, sure, you can, like, figure out where the sounds are supposed to go, but, like, okay, let's throw you on drop D. Let's have you do pick and slap. Let's, like, mm-hmm. let's really, like, get things going here. Let's have you switch between all of them. Let's have you use a capo with a bass. Like, let's have you strum. Like, let's
use an e-bow for a bass.
Yeah, like, let's There's versatility with a lot of, like, guitar and string instruments, but there's also, like, a little bit of limitation. I'd also like to add that, like, I agree with everything you said, but another reason pianos are still, like, holding their own is because synthesizers are pianos that make fun noises.
Exactly.
And synthesizers are still being used, if not being used even more in music.
They're being used heavy in every genre.
And because they're literally, like, the input style is the exact same as you would expect from a regular piano, like, that's not going to die out. But there's also the point you have that, like, piano is just, like, probably the most universal instrument.
And I don't think it's ever going to die out, because everybody distinctively knows the sound of piano, and 90% of people like some type of piano. Whether
it's as ubiquitous as the QWERTY keyboard.
Pretty much. It really is. I just don't,
like,
ever see it.
We've got smartphones now, and we're still, like, displayed as a QWERTY keyboard.
Because
that's what makes sense to us, because it's so ubiquitous.
And I think that's piano is going to stay that way, and guitar is not that way. Because you have a lot of bands, and they all are starting to really blend together in the way, especially with guitar, because you have your chords that are all pretty similar. You have the riffs and whatnot that just people aren't innovating enough with the instrument. So that's why it's dying out, because people are trying to do the same thing as other guys have, and they're not really experimenting as much as other artists have. And there's not many artists that really do it. So I think that's a big reason why it's starting to go extinct, because it's just you've kind of brought out the limitations of the instrument, you know?
Yeah.
Even though it's one of my favorite, I love guitar, absolutely love it. I could play it as well as I'm staring at my two, and yeah, but it's just from ever since after that post-grunge era, it's gone heavily electronic and stuff, and all of the a lot of the big, I guess you'd say 2000s bands or so, all really started to blend together. And yeah. That was a bad thing. And from there, that's when it really died out to me. Then people started to go electronic, getting laptops or other stuff, because you can make just unlimited amounts of sounds.
Right.
And yeah, that's my hot take on it. Because I've been thinking that too. Because I've had to go to Guitar Center a couple of times for piano stuff, ironically. And I'm like, wow, there's people in here, but they all are playing like the same shit. Like it sounds...
They're all in the synth section.
And there's a... Yeah, the synth sections are growing and... Yeah, it's just different. You know, times change. Yeah. Music changes. Exactly.
It's all that happens. Like,
makes sense.
Even the guitar is, like, adapted in style and in form to match the times. And I think that's what these companies will do, just as the nature of, like, wanting to compete. Because, like, until Fender starts making pianos...
Right.
I mean, they're going to have to find some way to compete. Maybe that includes, like, making a Guitar Hero style and putting keys down on it or something.
Right.
Which will be fun, but... Yeah, I don't know. I also tend to agree with Queens of Stone Age on this. Next, let's go to... we have a couple more things in the rundown. The Taylor Swift case is very important. I should talk about it because we did kind of mention it. Basically, the skinny is that a Colorado DJ who worked with Taylor Swift at some point named David Mueller. It's an interesting name that's coming up lately. Mueller.
It's Mueller, people.
Hashtag no politics.
Just hashtag speak German right.
He's suing Taylor Swift for $3 million in damages after she alleged that he grabbed her, like, skirt. Like, he lifted up her skirt and grabbed her ass in a meet-and-greet photo op type thing.
I was gonna have hot takes, but...
Yeah.
Okay, first off, so what is the deal? She wants to sue for $3 million?
No, Mueller? Mueller? How should we say it?
Hold on, wait. Wait.
Okay, so...
I see. Okay, I read it totally wrong for a second. Sorry, folks.
Yeah. Because we prepare.
We've been there, yeah.
But I think the judge threw out the lawsuit.
Really?
Yeah.
Because,
like, you couldn't prove that Taylor Swift set out to get Mueller fired. It just kind of, like, happened. Because turns out you're not supposed to grope people, which shouldn't be like a fucking, like, this shouldn't be news to people. Hey, turns out bad things happen when you grope people, therefore you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it should be the first aspect of this entire question. But apparently we need to remind people that, like, not everyone is yours. Ask for fucking consent and fucking respect it.
Right.
And then you'll save, like, a lot of time and energy. I don't get why these people sue for, like, defamation of their character when their actions are enough defamation as is.
Yeah, 100%.
But, like, again, these people don't get it, and they're just, like, money-hungry and crazy. And it's, like, fucking horrible that people have to deal with this in general. But, like, also especially, like, I mean, I gotta keep it real. It's gonna be worse for women in these situations because
100%.
There are gonna be people who go, oh, what are you crying on about? It's nothing. It's not even that bad. Or, like... Oh, well, look at the way Taylor Swift or Kesha or whoever represents themselves on stage. Like, clearly they're sex symbols, so why are they surprised at doing this? But, like, at nope. Like, I don't know how to make this more clear. You can walk around as a dude with your dick out all the time, and, like, but if someone touches you and they don't and you don't want to be touched, you can't go, oh, he had it coming, should have been walking out like that. Like, that's an extreme example, but just because you represent yourself in a certain way does not automatically mean, non-verbally, that you consent to this whole, like, mess of other things that could potentially happen to you with other people. Everything, like, those types of things have to happen on your own terms, and the own terms between the people involved in that activity, right?
Just, dudes, keep your hands to your goddamn selves. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, just, it's not that hard.
Wonder
how easy it is to find porn.
Right, you put your hand on your nuts, all right? Unless you're...
You can ask Siri for porn if you'd like to, okay? Whoa. Welcome to 2017.
I mean, you got that Samsung won't suck your dick, though. But yeah, just
best pretty... onion video ever.
Right.
The Samsung like VR goggles that also suck your dick.
Pretty much, just fucking keep your hands to your goddamn self. It's simple, yeah. Humans.
It's a simple thing, and but like, yeah, people are going to be giving Taylor Swift shit, and wow, what a world! I'm defending Taylor Swift.
Right. This is one of the few times I do because I hate her music, but as a human, I'm like, all right, you gotta do some decent shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, she is totally in the right in this case, at least from what I can tell.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in other news, Glenn Campbell, a famed country music star, died at age 81 with a battle of Alzheimer's, famous for the song Rhinestone Cowboy.
Yep.
I mean, like, even though we're not even that big in the country, like, you gotta know Rhinestone Cowboy. It's a classic country song.
Yeah, it's sad, but, I mean...
happens.
Yeah. I have a few people I know that love... I loved him and everything, so it's sad. But, I mean, it's... the old generation stuff starting to die out and whatnot, so... And a new generation coming in, basically. But that's just...
life.
The world, so... Great, great damn artist, so... I'll give him that. Yeah, I don't like country much at all.
It's one of those few country artists like
that, like, we hella respect.
Yeah.
And everything. Like, Johnny Cash, hella respect.
Gonna say Johnny Cash.
So, that's my dude.
Yeah.
And Campbell's up there.
There's some people who, regardless of genre, game recognize game. And like,
exactly.
He's one of those people.
100%. I will give him that.
So, rest in peace, my guy.
Yep.
Next, let's bring it back up. We're almost done, but... Arcade Fire has been in a mess. Arcade Fire not winning anymore.
They're not winning anymore, man.
So, first off, and I'd like to give a shout out to The Outline. They've been doing a lot of coverage on the kind of clusterfuck that is the Everything Now publicity tour. And so they've been doing a bunch of hoaxes and lies to promote their album. This has included, like, allegedly enacting a dress code for their shows versus selling fidget spinners and then, like, not doing that, like, branded Everything Now fidget spinners, spreading random, like, amounts of fake news through their shows. And all of it is just done to produce hype for their album. But, like, in reality, these are all just, like, very annoying, very stupid gags that look, like,
really
kind of cheap.
Stupid.
They really cheapen the Arcade Fire, like, brand.
It's terrible. Like, I don't know. I see what they're trying to do. I get it. But it's the wrong way to do it, I guess. Or it's just, it's going to piss off more people than it is going to make people understand what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. So, yeah, that's, like... or putting out different signs of people going to run for office or some random shit, and it's like, just stop. Like, there's enough shit going on, you know, and it's not right.
Yeah, like, fake news is already bad enough as
right?
is.
Right? And now you have Arcade Fire doing that. And,
I mean, like, not like Arcade Fire is bringing us closer to nuclear war, but hashtag no politics. We should, I think once we start doing merch for, like, network shows, I think... our show should have a no politics
shirt.
But let us know what you'd be down for based on what recurring themes you have. Maybe we could do an audio face communism.
Right? Can it be like audio face with a hammer and sickle? Or like this,
the
lettering.
Audio face with the C being...
I like it.
Oh, God.
The A being all crazy and whatnot. Like
the A being like the Russian D.
Yeah, like when my German teachers started writing Russian, I go, what is this? Whoa, what the hell?
That's ingrained.
That young East German, though. And then also, Wynn Butler's a bitch.
Yeah. But the other issue is that, like, a lot of media around, like, music... like, a lot of music media was really falling for this and not doing a lot of vetting of the story.
No, God, no.
So it's almost like a lazy... I mean, not almost.
It was lazy.
It is an example of, like, lazy journalism, but only in the music industry, which isn't... that horrible is where, as opposed to other places in journalism where, like, it can be lazy and bad. But nevertheless, I get what Arcade Fire is doing, because I said that the new album was very zeitgeisty. It's meant to capture this kind of absurd time where we're all, like, sucked into the different feeds and the different apps that we use, and we're kind of all vying for fame and wanting stimulation from all these different places through content all the time. And, like, I know, I've always said, like, that gets to me. I'm a coder. That, I really relate to that. But they're kind of almost becoming a parody of themselves at this point. It's kind of sad because I'm one of those people who genuinely liked Arcade Fire before this, and I'll still like them after this, but, like, these dumb stunts
I hate it. It's not stupid. Great.
I remember when I said I would have a take about this later on? So, nevertheless, despite all of these random dumb things Arcade Fire is doing, and despite the fact that maybe we're alone or one of the few who gave the album an overwhelmingly like decent review.
I still like it.
Yeah, I still like it. While other outlets tend to say it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
I don't even know what people are thinking about the new Kesha album. I think it's...
People say it's solid. Okay. I haven't read much on it, Only the one thing I saw was I saw a B+ rating. I'm like, that's pretty much
what you know
I
mean.
I give it like an A-.
I don't read other reviews before
they're idiots.
Most of the time. It's
so stupid. They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, they're so arbitrary.
Half of them don't even play a fucking instrument.
But nevertheless, Arcade Fire's album, Everything Now, is charting. And it's doing like very well. I think it might even be number one. I think it may have unseated Damn by Kendrick.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Especially because the amount of airtime Everything Now, the song, is getting too.
But I think a lot of the reason why is because they're doing what a lot of bands are doing, which is they announce their album, they go on tour immediately after, and if you buy a ticket for that tour, they automatically give you an album.
Right.
And they can count that as a sale.
Right.
So it's unclear how, or like whether
the
album sales have to do with sales.
Yeah.
Or like ticket sales. But
I'm not sure either.
All this goes back to the idea that, the idea, like, all these metrics are starting to get gamed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to cheat, and they're not really, like, mattering as much as they should.
No.
Which is kind of depressing, because you want to be able to say, hey, I sold this many albums, and, like, have that number be pretty correct. Like, roughly
right?
correct.
Right, like, to this be able is to know, the, like, pretty much the number, you know?
Yeah.
Like, not, oh, I'm kind of getting my numbers up. It's like...
I was gonna do a hella swim term.
But it's
in
like,
this business you need metrics. You need metrics to go off of, you need metrics to use as leverage so you can get better deals for yourself musically, which we always talk about. Mm-hmm. Musicians need better deals all the time. The best deals, great deals.
All the best.
Tremendous deals.
Tremendous.
But
no
like,
one likes Peace more than I do.
You need no one likes Arcade Fire more than I do, believe me. But you've got to have reliable metrics. And even though it's complicated with the idea of streaming equivalents when you're, like, talking about what does an album buy count as on a streaming service.
Right.
So those are difficult things that need to be worked through. But it's important that these metrics are as faithful as possible.
Yeah, so that way you can get the actual numbers of what the album itself is going to be doing. Like, it's like swim term. Instead of, you go on, instead of leaving on 57 seconds, you leave on 60 seconds. So when you come in, you know exactly what time you're looking at on the clock.
Yeah.
Instead of leaving 3 seconds early and you think you're going faster, but you're not. It's just you're leaving 3 seconds early. This is the equivalent of that.
Yes.
Hella swim term for that. But that's because I literally swam 3 hours ago. So it's in my
mind. We get it, Sean. You're an athlete.
And, For the people.
Right.
Get that.
And then before we part ways with Arcade Fire, I'd like to bring back a segment that we've done on every episode of Audio Face called
Wynn
Butler's a Little Bitch.
Wynn Butler is a little bitch.
We bring this segment last time, on the last episode even.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lie. On the last episode of the Audio Face podcast, in which we always have a segment called this, we gave Ed Sheeran shit for being a little bitch.
Being a little bitch.
And quitting Twitter.
Yep.
But Arcade Fire's Wynn Butler...
has quit
the
Twitter.
The frontman has quit Twitter.
Because I have nothing to say. It's like, okay. It's a lot of bullshit. All right. I have nothing to say. I keep my Twitter...
Right. And again, I'll just go through this really quickly. If you quit Twitter, you're doing it because I understand pulling back from social media a little bit because it can get crazy and it can get just like unreasonable and like unproductive, right?
And
But if you're an artist who's like already doing successful-ish
and also doing some fake bullshit, as we just said,
yeah, like A, own up to your actions,
100%. Pay your taxes.
Yeah. A, pay your taxes. B, listen to the We Made It podcast. C, on the Syndicate 23 network. D, be accountable for your actions. And, like, don't If you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen.
Is exactly.
Pretty much the main point.
And basically, if it doesn't make sense, like if it's really about the bullshit, then just say it. But you're like,
yeah, have a conversation about like the interactions you have on Twitter and like how non-conducive they probably are to everything that's going on. But at the same time, you're going to, like, he's probably getting shit for this, like, crazy dumb campaign that he's doing.
Or,
like,
so then own up to it and explain why the hell you're doing it, or explain what your album is, why you
defend
made four
it,
fucking songs
it,
named Everything Now.
Three?
It was, like, three or four. I don't know. Explain to it instead of just, like, running around with the tail between your legs.
Yeah. But, I'm sick of people who, like, and this is honestly what's wrong with our generation. I'm Tommy Lauren, and this is my take.
Oh.
No politics.
Alive yourself, heavy.
No, but like...
Go home and rethink your life.
There's a discussion about the values of free speech and whether or not people should be allowed to partake in protest. And I talked about this a little earlier in the podcast, but like one thing that like, took me aback was I was just reading stories of the ongoing... This is a Saturday, recording this Saturday, the 12th of August.
Mm-hmm.
In the year of our Lord Donald Trump, 2017. And... in University of Virginia, there are these like protests with these demonstrators that many have likened to say they're from the alt-right. Some have likened to say they're white supremacists. I don't know. You tell me when a bunch of white people in collared shirts go around protesting the fact that they're taking down the statue of a Confederate war hero. You tell me where they stand and make that own opinion yourself. But there's the idea that there's this whole thing about freedom of speech and how you should be allowed to do it. Well, I say, yeah. You get freedom of speech, but you're not also free from consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So and I think that's the that's
back
anybody.
To Twitter.
Back to Twitter. The same
you're allowed
thing.
Freedom of speech. You're allowed to speak on Twitter, but you're also going to get consequences. And Twitter's not a perfect example because Twitter's a private company. You're using a private service. They can make their own rules of the game.
It also sucks on Android, so just
Twitter on Android's totally fine. Oh, I'm using the beta.
Yeah, fuck you.
I'm on that young beta though. the only beta that's better than the alpha.
This is rough. It's rough.
But yeah, when Butler is a little bitch, join Twitter and take your lumps like a man.
Whoa.
And lastly, because I'd like to end on a light note, Tom Harris from Swans and Shearwater, a kind of random band, is gonna apparently run for governor of Texas, completing this whole new trend of musicians and celebrities deciding to throw their hat in the ring because... Apparently, it's that easy now.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, because I've always said I'm never going to run for political office at all.
Please don't.
I actually sat down this morning and I was like, what would my path be, career path be, from informational entertainer to president?
Would you go House of Cards or what?
Of course.
Thank you.
Of course.
I mean, I'm your Doug Stamper then.
Please do it.
Oh, God. That's...
Listen, woo! For the record, I'm gonna House of Cards that shit.
For the record, yes.
Alex, it's like, here's the thing. Alex Jones won't be able to tell you about all the people I've murdered for my political upbringing because he will be one of them.
He's gonna be one of them that I'm gonna get a shovel and hit him and dig his grave in the middle of Nevada by Area 51 because, you know, he needs to rest easy.
A, I don't actually agree with any of this.
Right?
See? This is all a joke. I'm still not running for anything.
I'm not killing anybody. I'm good.
D, I jumped from A to C and skipped B.
It's fucking
five. Sean, that was very dark. And subsection Q.
Hey, Alex. Flat Earth. That's what I'm going to say. Anyways, music.
I'd like to say, for anyone who is offended by what I said, freedom of speech. But yeah, I'm just really sick of Kid Harris, Kid Rock, and Thor Harris.
Kid Harris.
I confuse the two. Thor Harris and Thor Kid Rock and all these different people who are like musicians who are like throwing their hat in the ring going, maybe I run for election.
Or like, didn't Kanye West do that at some point too?
Yeah. Or, like... Kanye, this is all a dumb publicity stunt, and I'm kind of fucking sick of dumb
stunts. Like Arcade Fire just did. It's like, fucking stop being
as
an idiot.
Much as you
stop
can,
being a professional buffoon.
As much as you can, just play the fucking music.
Yeah.
That's all I want you to do. Pay your taxes, play the music.
You can talk about stuff in interviews and whatnot and cool, but don't do stupid publicity bullshit. Like, you can, like, okay, like, when we went to... Radiohead concert in Berkeley, Tom was like spouting some crazy liberal shit, but that's in a concert. That's cool. That's within your control. He's not making fake fidget spinners with the bear logo for Radiohead on it and selling them for 105 USD, fake USD, supposedly.
Yeah.
And it's like, stop.
First off, Sean, all money is fake. Get rid of the Fed. Secondly,
I mean, you go in that cryptocurrency, you know, listen to that Kaiser report. And
secondly, Bitcoin. if it's not Ethereum, it's not real money.
It's not Ethereum, it's not real money. And either Bitcoin Ethereum is better than gold now. Gold. So don't invest in gold. Don't double gold. Don't do any of that. Bitcoin is where it's at.
I just want to say that with Sean at this microphone right now, I can very clearly see him becoming Alex Jones in the future, selling supplements.
Got the snake oil, guys. I got the alpha brain. They went and prayed to the owl god. Watch out, they're in robes now.
What are they doing to the frogs?
They're turning the freaking frogs gay. You really need to cut that.
No, I'm not staying the fuck in. I did that all for a Snapchat, but...
That was with the Snapchat.
But before we end the show...
No politics.
That's got to be a shirt.
That before has to be a shirt now.
Before we end the show, we started the show about...
In May.
In May, pretty much. And we had the idea for this a while ago. Like, hey, let's be those guys and think that we're so good that we can do a podcast.
I know all the music in the world and I can make a podcast about it because, you know, life.
Yeah.
No, not really. I want to fuck around.
But no, we've like grown tremendously more than I ever expected us to in this like long period of time. And I always said like, look, we'll do this podcast, but at the end of the summer, before I leave, if it doesn't work out, then willing to pull the plug. But as this little experiment has worked really well with Syndicate 23's, the podcasting efforts of it, I'm definitely continuing I'm definitely keeping Caesar and Bam on Well, let's be real. There's no way I'm stopping Caesar and Bam from doing their thing.
No, they're really good. So we ate it staying on the Syndicate 23 network. We are staying because... So he's going to go in...
I'm
going
to be flying
final, his final year.
Final year at Berkeley. Final year at UC Berkeley. Maybe the final year of UC Berkeley, considering how University of Virginia is looking right now. But
man, that's rough.
Edgy, bruh. No, edgy. But... So we've been recording this podcast in person together, but now we have all the equipment and the infrastructure thanks to... I mean, like, support from you all. Like, of course, you haven't donated monetarily, and of course, we're not doing advertisements yet, but
you're thinking positive now.
Brands, right? But because we can see the metrics behind how many people are actually constantly listening to the show and continue downloading and continue engaging, that motivates us to at least
keep going for a little longer.
So, like, we have the equipment and infrastructure available so that I can do the show remotely and keep doing it most weekends. Now, of course, like, this is not going to... be like a perfect thing because they're going to be weekends where you
Have races. It's hard. This summer has been different because I got injured in May.
Yeah.
But especially going next semester where I'm going to be having races and stuff. I'm going to be, you know, out of town.
Yeah.
And we're going to figure it out. We're going to have school and other things. So
there're going to be some episodes where maybe like we skip a week. There're going to be some times where I have like guests.
Yep.
Who will be up with me in Berkeley talking about music in their own like particular way. But it'll always be like the show that you've come to expect. I'm still experimenting with formats. Please send us your like opinions on what formats you think are best. What do you want to see more of? Do you like our like little mid-show discussions? Do you like our music recommendations? Do you want more of those? Do you want less of my political tangents? If you do, no, but I'm actually willing down to do.
We
totally
can do that.
Do that. We can easily do that. We joke about no politics. Just ends up happening because so much of the rest of my life is politics,
and so much of music is politics. Honestly, because it's a way to express yourself and everything. And
right. Yeah.
Bands but, venture into the political landscape.
Yeah, but no, we want to make the kind of show that y'all want to enjoy that we can also enjoy. So, keep spreading the podcast out there. Keep rating the podcast on whatever podcast app you use because. It's all metrics. The more people who rate the show, the more we can say, hey, people like the show enough to really support and really be engaged with it. That's why you should give us money to ultimately like help keep the show going.
And maybe one day we can get invited to a music festival. That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, like
I want to get invited to some type of
music thing. We could take this to the logical extreme and actually be like music journalism, feasibly.
That'd be kind of wild.
We can operate on our own terms, but... bring our, like, style of music, knowledge, and journalism to, like award shows to industry things. We're right here in LA, so there'd be like so much access. There's so much more we can do with that than like so much more we could do just with resources. Because not like we're trying to get rich off of being a podcasters or anything. This is a side project. This is a side project.
For we don't have a million subscribers Joe Rogan style. Like, yeah. We're not that cool.
We're not going to do 1,000 podcasts and like do this for a living, right? It's never going to be like that. But if we can take those resources and make it a show that has even more value to everyone, then that's, of course, what we're going to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's the idea, so...
Yeah. So with that, we should have a show next week. I don't think there's anything that's
No, I don't have anything for a while. Not until September 16th, I race that day. That Saturday.
Yeah.
Malibu Olympic distance. So yeah. I won't be there. I'm going to be, like, throwing up at the finish line, hopefully winning.
I'm just hoping there's, like, enough music news to go around, right? But I...
I mean, you could talk with other people and just bullshit your way through it.
Yeah, I'm also hoping that... we don't get nuked.
That'd be nice.
But anyways, on that light bombshell, thank you so much for listening to Audio
Anyways,
if
yeah,
you would like
you.
To follow me on Twitter or Instagram, on Twitter I am at Dan from the web, and on Instagram I'm at Dan from the internet. You can check out things I do on Huffington Post, where it is Yes Politics, and yeah, engage with me, please.
And I am at SW Suarez on everything, and it's just all trust on stuff.
More like basically. SJW Suarez.
I'm gonna change my name. Yeah, thank you guys for listening. It's been real, and we're gonna continue this thing.
Yeah,
I guess.
Please,
he bought me a mic, so this is bad.
Please, keep spreading it. Keep the momentum going.
Yep.
So we can be the contagion that takes over everyone's ears.
Contagion. Whoa. All right. Cool.
That's all.
Cheers, guys.